Thank you for tuning in to this edition of Kingsway Podcast from Pastor Sean. You are about to hear a message from a recent Sunday service. We consider it a privilege to be on a spiritual journey with you. So take a few moments with us and allow God to inspire you today.
The name of this message is Hello, My Name is Intern. Anybody know what an intern is? Okay, an intern. It's short for the concept of having an internship. An internship is one of those great opportunities America tells you all about. It's an opportunity for you to go to a workplace, gain experience, do the job, be under a supervisor, but not get paid. Only America can think about this kind of thing, right? Interns, they're an important part of our socioeconomic system. This is how we train up, you know, from college and people who hasn't gone to school, all sorts of ways to become an intern. And as I think about interns, it occurred to me this concept, which is this. This is the question I want to ask you. I want you to think about, why do you gravitate to what you do? What is it that you gravitate towards, and why do you do that? Many of us spend a lot of time at work. If you've been retired, then you've spent more time than I have at work. Why did you gravitate to that job? Did you enjoy that job? Did you like that job? Is your job who you are? Are you more than your job? So the big question today is not just why you gravitate to what you do, it's what were you born to do? I love big questions like this. For those of you who haven't heard me speak before, we did a message a few months ago, and I divulged the mystery of the universe. I did that in church, right here. It's on the podcast. You can listen to it. It's called The Universal Name, and it is the mystery of the universe. Today, I'm going to talk about what you were born to do. And as I thought about that, it brought me to this concept of interns, and it brought me to this concept of work. Have any of you ever been bored at work? Anybody ever been bored at work? If you're ever bored at work, you can consider the impact of an intern. Because when an intern goes to work, typically they sit there and do nothing, and they begin to get very bored in their first few days. So to get you into the spirit of internships, I got a little video. Can you dim the lights for me, turn up the volume, and let's hear bored at work.
I'll settle in, and my first day on the job seems to be moving along pretty well so far. If I can just get through 5 minutes, that's 1% of the day, then I just have to do that 100 more times. You've got to be kidding me. You should get an internship, Summer. Oh, it'll look great on your resume, Summer. How in the world does this build character, Mom? How is it that I feel completely ignored and yet absolutely on display at the same time? Horseback riding? Now that builds character. Why hire me? I could just walk out this door right now. They wouldn't even notice. I'll just replace my slowly decaying body with that plant. No one will be the wiser. Only 2 minutes? You've got to be kidding me. So, every other intern in the world is having a meaningful experience except for me. No, no, no. Summer, you're learning a valuable lesson of how to slowly become a husk of your former self. 4 years of college, hundreds of thousands of dollars in student loans to sit at this desk like I'm in afternoon detention. Being a grown-up is awesome. I can't wait. Unbelievable.
There you go. What I wanted to begin to share with you now is about internships. They're boring. Minutes don't pass by. And then we begin to think about our day at work. We begin to think about our own time at work. What are we doing at work? Why are we there at work? Is this all that there is in life, what we're doing here at our job? And then you begin to say, for some of us who, now I'm sure everybody wants a desk job after you see that video, right? I want you to think about what you gravitate to. I want you to think about, as we hear this message, I want you to think honestly about what you were born to do. Are those the same question? So with this, I want to open up our Bibles. You can, if you will, open up to Exodus. It's in the front of your Bible, Genesis, and then Exodus. Chapter 3, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. You can open it up if you like. You can look at the screen if you like. Or you can close your eyes and I'll read it to you with my read story to my son voice at night. Exodus 3, verse 1. One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. This is one of those sermons where I'm going to stop after each verse. One day, church, when I highlight it on the screen like that, I want you to repeat it after me. Say one day, one day. Do you realize in one day, God could change everything? Your entire life could be flipped upside down in one day. Oftentimes we think of the tragedies, we think of the difficult times in our life. This is a different story. This is not a story of tragedy. This is a story of God taking your life as it is right now with no preconceived notions, with no predestined future, but taking it as it is right now, this moment, and turning it into a one day. Something changed. And in this particular one day, it was an average day. Moses, as you know, he led this beautiful life. He was this prince in Egypt. He had the lap of luxury. He turned it all down, went away from it, and went out to be a shepherd amongst some of his own people. And he was just doing an average, ordinary, typical day, going to work, shepherding the sheep. When he came to this mountain, verse 2, there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Say it with me, middle of a bush. That's right, blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it did not burn up. In this one day we talk about, you going to work, a casual, typical day, could be any day. Have you considered that God may be speaking to you through a very unexpected source? Could it get more unexpected than a burning bush? I don't know what the equivalent of that today is. Your computer going the blue screen of death when you get in, and all of a sudden, messages start popping up onto it. This is God. I don't know if that's the equivalent. The water tower beginning to talk to you with messages. I don't know. Your phone running out of battery and it's got no battery and it starts just creating a hologram around it and God starts talking. I don't know. These are unexpected sources. These aren't the unexpected sources God works in today. Have you considered that God may be speaking to you on your one day through the people you have at work? Now, you all are probably lovely, amazing, good-hearted Christians, and you feel as though you should be the one talking to everyone about God. I'm sure that's all of you. But did you consider that there's someone else at your workplace that may be trying to tell you something from God? Or maybe it's a thought you had. By the way, as much as I love all of your ideas don't come from you. I could tell you that they're influenced by advertising or by TV or by the internet or by Facebook or Snapchat or Instagram or dot, dot, dot. But some of your thoughts are actually inspired by God. He's all creative. Just as Satan is capable of shooting a dart into your mind and making you think of something you'd rather not think of, God can do the same. Do you notice it? An unexpected source, your own thought. How about an experience at work? Something mundane, typical. All of a sudden, you didn't realize that in it, God was trying to speak to you. Verse 3 says, this is amazing. I can't imagine watching a burning bush talk to me. Moses said to himself, why isn't the bush burning up? I must go see it. Repeat after me, church. I must go see it. Church, on this one day, on this unexpected source, this guy at work that you just happen to talk to, this lunch you just happen to take, this meeting you're not supposed to be in, have you considered that the Lord wants you to investigate a little further? He wants you to examine the situation. You see, this verse tells us that Moses was willing to investigate. He was willing to ask another question to that person. He was willing to ponder that thought a little longer. He was willing to ask himself the difficult question in the midst of his experience. You know, church, God is still showing himself today. He did not go away. As a matter of fact, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to literally work in your life, to literally show himself in your life. Have you considered he's trying to do it? And have you considered that you're missing it? Because in this case, he used an amazing experience, and Moses could have walked right by. It caught Moses' eye, and he was willing to investigate. Not because it was God, because it was cool. Do you see? The Lord is moving in your life. He's trying to catch your attention. Are you even noticing it? And maybe if you're not sure if God moves in this way, maybe if you're not sure if God is still working this day, maybe you need to think a little bigger. Church. Verse 4. This is where it gets good. When the Lord saw, repeat after me, when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, Moses, Moses. Did you consider today that on your one day, typical, ordinary day, that God is expecting you? You often think about how you can expect God to intervene in your life. Do you ever consider he sets your day up so you could see if you would investigate him? Sometimes he actually waits for you to investigate. He's waiting. He's giving you an opportunity. I find this verse 4 amazing. Listen, it says, when the Lord saw, then God called to him. When the Lord saw, then God called. When the Lord saw Moses investigate, then the Lord did something. Anyone? You see, church, you got to do something. The Lord is setting something up, and he's not doing it at church. He's not doing it in a Bible study. He's not doing it in a worship service, although he does move in all those areas. I get very excited about that. But he also does it at your day job. Every day, day in, day out, when you least expect it, from an unexpected source, it is your job to examine and to take one step closer. And he's calling you by name. It's not a universal call to everyone who does it. He's calling you by name, Miss Lillian, you by name, Miss Ann, you by name, Bronson, you by name, Chuck. He's calling us by name, even little Carter. Only he hears it, of course, but he's calling him. As amazing as that little message is that I just preached, it's not the point of today. It's just to warm you up. You see, Moses replied with an entire sermon. Moses said in verse 4, here I am. Our reply to God should be exactly this, here I am. I am, it is the name of God. The best thing we could ever say to God is here I am. When you ever don't know what to say to God, when life is so difficult, when you can't figure out if you've made too many mistakes that he even hears your voice, say, Jesus, here I am. Jesus, here I am. Four things that will stop the universe, or allow a burning bush to tell you your future. But church, I want to take it back. I want to go back to verse 1. Let's go back. On one day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. Now, when you look at this verse, what do you see here that looks really familiar from Moses' life? You see, this is where this message was inspired from. What more than anything points out about preparing Moses for his future? You see, I don't believe, or at least I did at one point, that it was this whole conversation he had with the bush that prepared Moses. That was God confirming. That was God calling. That was God moving. But there was something that happened before. There was some preparation period at work. God was preparing Moses at work. How so? Let me make it a little bigger in case you can't see it. How about I bold this right here? He led the flock far into the wilderness. Anybody recall the story of Moses? Last time I checked, most of it was about him leading a flock into the wilderness. It wasn't the first time Moses had led the flock into the wilderness, church. He'd been preparing for it many, many days at work. He, in fact, was an intern. He was interning as a shepherd every day, day in, day out. Not quite sure what his ultimate purpose was. Not, of course, until he investigated God and followed the bush. But he was leading sheep into the wilderness. Yeah, I like to think about it like this. Work for free. You see, Moses was working for free. Sure, you could suggest that he was getting money or experience or building relationships and all those things we do at our day job. We need to earn money. We need to gain new experience. We need to create new relationships. And some of our jobs allow us to create experiences or create relationships that we could only ever do with that job. The Lord sometimes puts jobs, careers in our path, in our journey, so that we could create a relationship and have an opportunity that we never could without it. But I still believe we work for free. You see, because until we're making a difference in the kingdom, we're working for free. What do I mean by that? I mean, the Bible just says it like this. You can store up your treasures here on earth, and if you do, when you die, they will all rust and turn to dust. So I'm not saying it's a bad thing. You need a place to live. You need a car to drive. You need to go on vacations. All these things the Lord wants to bless you with. But those, he does not define as treasure. He says you need to store up your treasure in heaven. And you do that simply by sacrificing your treasure here on earth, your time, your money, to do things for the kingdom. Sometimes it's as easy as just praying for someone or evangelizing. We need to store up our treasure in heaven. You see, Moses was gaining experience as an intern doing this with earthly treasure. He was learning how to lead and talk to people. See, he was amongst his own people at that time, so he was learning how they talk and interact in their culture. He, at that time when he was shepherding, he was learning how to deal with the wilderness, how to deal with the brush and the sticks and where to go with the rivers and the lakes and the trees and the sun and the hills. He was interning with the wilderness. He was also in the wilderness, apparently, in verses 3 and 4, learning how to talk to God. All three things he needed to do the calling that was in his life. Are you with me, church? Perhaps you are. Let's give you another example. This is a great example. This is our buddy Peter. One day, repeat after me, one day. Here's another one day. I may do a sermon just about one days in scripture. I just go through all the scriptures and find out all the one days. Here was another one day, a typical day, an ordinary day, a day at work, doing what we all do at work, work. Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, because it flows out, Chris, that's why. He saw two brothers, Simon, which, by the way, that happens to be my name, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew. So Simon and Andrew were brothers, and they were there at the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon, also called Peter and Andrew, throwing a net into the water because they fished for a living. And Jesus called, repeat after me, Jesus called. Jesus called out to them. Matthew 4, verse 18. A typical day. Jesus called out to them. What did he say? What did he say? Well, if you want to turn your Bibles to verse 19, you can, or I'll put it on the screen. Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. Matthew 4, 19. You see, Peter, I argue, with his brother Andrew, and frankly, all of the disciples, were interning. They were in an internship. They were fishing for fish as a living and learning the skills that they needed to fish for people. They were brought out of one life into another life. Why? Well, they were leveraging what they already know. They were leveraging the skills, the tools, the talents. They were leveraging the very thing they gravitated towards. What do you gravitate towards today? You see, it's interesting. You're not ready yet. One more example. I need to make sure you're focused in here, church. And I'm going to keep asking you to repeat after me so that you continue to focus. I'm not going to lose you on this one. Galatians 1:15. Galatians, this is a book in the Bible. It's in the New Testament. You could turn to it. It's right around Ephesians after the Gospels. And Galatians was one of those books written by a really smart man, perhaps the smartest the Bible speaks of, a man named Paul. And we've talked about Paul. He's from the book of Acts. He was a guy who was a zealot. He was one who went and persecuted the Christians because they weren't Jewish. Killed them, put them in jail, beat them down. And then he had this experience on the road of Damascus, this bright light. And all of a sudden, he was Paul, the zealot for Christ. In Galatians 1:15, he says something dynamic. We'll read it. But even before I was born, God chose me and he called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him. Let's repeat that after me. It pleased him. You know, I need to take a quick moment here. You know, I do baby dedications. We talk about little babies. I think in a car, I think about little babies. And as a parent, I've had a bunch of babies. And you don't have to teach babies how to be bad. They know it. They're born that way. They're good at being bad. You got to teach them how to be good. Amber preached a message last week about the baby and about the formations and about how God created us and about how we are unique and God created us with a unique purpose. And then she talked about our weaknesses. And it made me think about something. We do have weaknesses, by the way. We're human beings, and by nature, we have weaknesses. But it occurred to me, of all the things we think about that are negative when a baby is brought into this world, I've heard people say, I may have said it myself, I may have thought it, I don't know if I want to bring a baby into this world because of how tough and difficult it is. But then I'm reminded about Galatians 1:15. It says, before I was even born, God chose me. He called me. His marvelous grace, then it pleased him. Do you realize simply by your birth, simply by your breath on this planet, you please him. You're his creation. His plan for you is perfect, and it pleases him. Paul had a plan before he was ever born. He just got it mucked up halfway through his life. You know, when I think about birth, it's interesting about birth. It says, even before I was born. In order to be born, you have to do nothing. You have to do nothing. God has a purpose in your life, and you did nothing but be born. And then, in fact, you're born for a reason. It says that he chose you and called you for a reason, and then it pleases him. You know, I like to think about it this way. As I think about Peter and Paul and Moses, you can't help but think what most pastors say, that God, through Jesus Christ, through his grace, is capable of taking your previous life and redeeming it for one for his glory. You've heard this many times. He can take your sins, he can wash you clean, he can then forget them as far as the east is from the west and allow you to conduct a new life, one that is pleasing and honoring to him. We hear this all the time. And if you begin to talk to someone and you press in on this concept, particularly a young person, they'll begin to understand that God has a plan for them. And then they begin to wonder, oh no, he's got a plan and never told me about it. And this plan he's got for me scares me. He's gonna send me to Egypt, I know it. Antarctica, that's where I'm gonna be. This plan he has for me, why didn't he tell me when I was little? I don't believe for a second that God doesn't understand every single desire of your heart because he created you that way. The main point today that I'm trying to emphasize as I get in here to the main point of this message is that you have God's purpose. You have it. He created you. That's what this verse says. You have it. You have God's purpose. He's calling for it. He's calling you for it, just as the bush did, Moses. Just as Jesus did, Peter, Andrew. Can you hear his voice today? Are you listening for his voice today? You see, as I thought about this, I realized it's more than redemption. The redemption is important because we're sinners. But most of you are Christians in this place today, so I didn't want to preach about sin. I didn't want to preach about redemption. I wanted to preach about something bigger than that. Why you were born. So let's look at it this way. I put it on the slide like this. I said, God creates for a purpose. We know this. He creates light so it separates it from darkness. He created a space between the waters and the sky. It's called an atmosphere, so we can breathe. He created land so that there could be animals that were both amphibian and mammals. He then created vegetation. My wife and I talked about this last night with the kids. He must have created vegetation before he created the animals because they need something to eat. So he created vegetation. And then we were going through the days. We count 1, 2, 3, 4. That was 5. And then we realized, where were the animals created? Weren't they 5? No, the vegetation was created on day 5. He created the animals on day 6 with man, by the way. And so we were studying that and say, everyone has a purpose. God creates for a purpose. And then God created you. So anyone who's taken 1 week of logic knows the theorem would say, if, then, therefore, you have a purpose. And God is calling for it. He is calling you. I believe that his story is more than redemption. I believe that we had a purpose from the very beginning. You see, it was not that Moses became a shepherd of Israel because he was a shepherd of sheep. I think that is incorrect. He became a shepherd of sheep because he was to become the shepherd of Israel. It was not that Peter became fishers of men because he was a fisherman. No, he became a fisherman because he was one day to become a fisher of men. It was not that Paul became a zealot for Christ because he was first a zealot against Christians. He was born a zealot and one day figured out how to best use it for God's glory. The Jesus truth for today is you were born to be ... I can't tell you what the answer to this mystery is because I'm not you. But I know who can. You can. It's deep down inside you. You were born with the purpose from birth. The mystery of your purpose is already in you, even if you're not serving Christ today. This writer I got from this great book that was shared with me, Jonathan Kahn, he said, look back at your life and you will find hidden in it this mystery. You will find a Moses in the wilderness, a fisherman in a boat. Your life is a mystery waiting to be redeemed. A mystery in which was embedded the seeds of his purpose to be used for his glory. You see, he did not just one day examine your life and discover how to use it. No. He created you with a purpose that you could use from the day you were born, church. Let me put it this way. I put this little picture up on the screen. I found this on Facebook. I don't even use Facebook, but one of my friends found me on Facebook, and I had a look at his Facebook, and then I saw my wife's Facebook, and then I saw this picture. And for those who are online listening to this message, it's this picture about the archetypes of children, the prototypes of children. You have firstborns, middleborns, lastborns, or only children. And, you know, the psychologists and sociologists and profilers all alike have begun to create characteristics that generally prescribe to certain children of certain ages. So if you're a firstborn, generally you're a perfectionist or a leader. You may be bossy. You may be controlling, but you may be reliable or motivated. If you're a middleborn, you may be independent or a go-between. You may often feel left out, or you can be rebellious. If you're a lastborn, perhaps you're more social or charming, but you're more self-centered and you seek attention. You may even be manipulative. If you're an only child, well, you're confident and conscientious. You may be mature for your age or seek approval. You also may be sensitive. Now, I'm not suggesting that this is the way it works for every single person. These are general tendencies that psychologists have pointed out after years and years of study. What I find interesting about it is these tendencies, they would argue, were there because of your birth order. And who decided that, I'd ask you? I'm not suggesting they got it right, but I am suggesting that there are tendencies based on your birth, on where you were born, on who you were born to, on what situation you were born into, whether it was within your control or without, the situation of your brothers and sisters, of your finances, of your health, of your location. God divinely ordered it for a purpose, church, and he wants to use it. He's calling it in today, church. And it doesn't have to happen just here at church. It can happen any day at work, any day, any ordinary one day. You have a purpose today. You have traits today. Whatever your profile of traits are, God wants to use it. So I have this quick analogy I want to use, and then I'll finish up with my last verse. I know we have some old timers here, and so you would remember 1960s, and there's a show on TV, Mad Men, that finished out in 2015, and it's all about the 60s and early 70s, and I begin to learn more about the 60s, gain appreciation for the way life was, the way politics were, the way our socioeconomics were, the way our civil rights were, the way the feminist movement was, and it's a shame how we treated people back then. It really is. And one of the things that I learned about that time was the technology, because I'm into technology, and it was the IBM 360. You find this out in this show, but on the screen here is a picture of the IBM 360. It's a mainframe. It was the size of a room, a pretty big room nonetheless, probably the size of Bronson's room in there. If you go into Bronson's classroom, it's pretty big, the entire room. The IBM 360 cost just about, at least this particular one I have on the screen, this was NASA's version in 1969. It was $3.5 million, and back then that's a lot of money. This particular IBM 360, this controlled a really interesting piece of aircraft called Apollo 13 and Apollo 14. Those of you who are around remember that to be the space shuttle that landed on the moon. This machine, this very machine, enabled Neil to walk on the moon. Right there. Wow. It's an amazing thought. I mean, the moon is pretty far away, right? It's 240,000 miles away. 240,000. They need a computer the size of a room to get them there. Now I want you to do something. Normally, I don't ask for this in church. But if you have one of these, pick it up. I want you to take a good look at it. And then you can look at the screen. I want you to look at your phone. I really do. I'm not being facetious. If you have a phone, I want you to pull it out and look at it. I don't care if it's a smartphone, a flip phone, if it's a pocket calculator. If you have a device in your hand, I want you to put it in your hand. I want you to feel what it feels like, because I want you to think about this moment as I preach this part of the message. Your phone today, if it's an average smartphone, is 120 billion times more powerful than that IBM 360 I showed. To put it nicely, your pocket phone could send 120 billion spaceships to the moon at the same time. And it's in your hand right now. This little thing. Most of the time, this powerful, life-changing, space-navigating device that's in your hand, most of the time, it's idle. It's doing nothing. Get your head around that. And when it's not idle, well, we're not going to the moon. I guess we're consuming with it. We're not producing very much often. The next time you pull this out, I want you to think about your own life. How much of your own life has potential and power, but is remaining idle? What else could you be doing with your phone? What else could you be doing with your life? Because God has purposed it to do big and mighty things. What were you born to do today, church? I'm not trying to stress you out and tell you you're not doing enough with your life. If you feel that condemnation, that's not because I'm preaching it. It's because perhaps there's a guilt inside of you that Satan wants to contort. What I'm trying to point out to you is that God created you and he did it perfectly. And if you're missing a sense of validation or a sense of comfort or a sense of peace, that's not because of your job, and you'll never find it in your job. It's because of your purpose that's in you that God is trying to eke out. And he may, in fact, use your job to do it. You see, I wasn't always planning to speak this exact message today. But God was planning it. All weekend long, he was putting ideas in my head, experiences in my life, scriptures in front of me, until I was dumb enough to figure out what he wanted me to say. It was pretty obvious at that point. I was not always planning to be a pastor either, but God was planning it. Since the beginning of time, I was thought of as a leader, a manager, someone with ideas. I just didn't know what I was supposed to be leading. I wasn't always planning to be a dad, but God was planning it. I did not one day become a dad due to some decision that my wife and I made. God planned it because I was destined to pass something on. I was not planning to be a husband, but God was planning it. The longing in my heart to love others moved me to look for a wife, and so, as sure most of you. But it was the sacrifice to learn how to compromise, to put someone else first, to do something bigger than me that I called on. That's why my marriage is what it is. You see, church, God is using what you gravitate towards to prepare you for your ministry, to prepare you for what he has for you. What you're working on today at work, what you're working on at home has a purpose and a place. It's your internship. If you turn or look at the screen to the verse of the day, I'm going to end with 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. It reads, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." Church, I need to point this out to you, church. Most of you today have had a saving experience. He has saved you. That is not the end. That is not the ultimate. That is not what you're supposed to arrive at, a saving experience. We have had that. So did Paul. That wasn't his calling. That was his entree. It says right here, "And then he called us. Then he made known to us that our purpose, our fiddling with our time all these days of our life, it was used for an internship to do something for his glory, for his ministry, for his kingdom, church. He called us." And church, he didn't just call us. He called us for his purpose. His purpose. What you're good at, what you gravitate toward is there on purpose. Whether you use it for his kingdom or use it for sin, it is there for his purpose. And he will use his grace to help you way through it. And church, it was there since the beginning. It was there before you had those experiences that you thought changed you the way you are. It was there before those words were said to you, or before the violence came into your life. It was there before the financial tragedy. It was there before the money. It was there before the ideas or the thoughts. It was there before whatever you think is in your life that made you what you are today. I'm here to tell you, God had a plan before it happened. Have you considered why you gravitate to what you do? If you're a mechanic today, it's not just that you fix things. It's you solve problems. The church needs problem solvers. If you're a cook today, it's not just that you make food. Perhaps you want to help please people. The church could use some people pleasers. Perhaps you're a maintenance man and you think you just clean floors. No, you make the world a better place. The kingdom could use some cleaning up. If you're a project manager today and you feel that your day is consisting of managing timelines and resources, perhaps you need to consider that in actuality, you balance life and priorities. Something we in church need an awful lot of help. Maybe if you see yourself as a caretaker or a benevolent, you could use that for church ministry. If you're a comforter or an encourager, you could use that to change the direction of a stranger today. Perhaps if you're addicted and codependent, you should consider relying on Him 100% and see where that gets you. If you struggle with anger or jealousy, perhaps you need to try to point that into His direction, and maybe He can use it for His glory. Church, have you considered what you gravitate towards? Now you have it, part one and part two. Amber preached it. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, created in the womb of your mother. You were sent to this planet, uniquely created by God with a unique purpose for God. And often those purposes have a great enemy called comparison. And you're comparing yourself to those around you, the successes or lives of those, the wants and needs of others. And you're comparing yourself to that, and it distracts you from your own purpose. And yet Amber taught you last week that in your weakness, God is strong. He can use those weaknesses. And this week we taught you that the things you're good at, the things you love to do. Church, there's so many of you today that say, I do not love my job. And as a career counselor, I can give you certain advice, but as a pastor, I will tell you this. I don't need you to love your job. The thing that's inside of you that wants to love your job is a purpose that God put inside of you to put that love to His kingdom. Whatever it is you love to do, if you can't do it at work, come into church. I'll find a place for you to do it here. God wants to use your purpose, and He started it from the moment He thought of you, and it was put into motion the moment that you asked Jesus Christ to save you. And today, He's calling for His purpose.
We at Kingsway hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Sean. It was not by chance you listened to it. God is speaking to you. Visit kingswaycc.org to find the podcast from Pastor Sean. We pray today that this somehow inspired you to draw closer to God and to connect with His people, His purpose, and His power. God bless you.